Radio Pensacola. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's another Monday, another manic Monday, but we're going to have some fun this morning because I've got Jamie Coffey and Zach Harris from NAS Whiting Field Public Affairs in the studio. They've brought a couple guests. We always kind of we always have a good time during this segment. Sometimes it goes off the rails, so just stay with us. Jamie, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. This is going to be a good one.
This is going to be great.
It's just another manic Monday. Mm-hmm.
I should have played that.
Isn't that Madonna? Is that No, I'm sorry.
That you just lost some girl
80s.
Points there.
I know, I totally did. That's my generation.
Man, I should know that too. I just lost some musician points.
It's not Cindy Lauper.
No, that's what
I
thought.
Somebody's got to call in. And tell us.
And that number, good segue, 850-437-1620. You can call or text the show. And Manic Monday was done by the Bengals.
Okay, somebody's got to give us another one.
Who was the lead singer of the Bengals? Somebody let us know. 437-1620. Jamie Coffey, NAS Whiting Field. You guys have a long drive to come and do this show, don't you?
It's not too bad.
Just jump on the interstate.
Yeah, it's not bad when you jump on. But we're going to talk a little bit of security stuff. I'm just going to do a little bit of base announcements this morning, and then I'm just going to turn it over to Mr. Zach Harris.
Yes.
Deputy Public Affairs Officer for NAS Whiting Field out in Milton, Florida, where we are training aviation warfighters. Okay.
Yes.
We could have done that on the radio with the voice and everything.
Yeah.
It's like a great tagline.
I need an effects box where it'll be like,
yeah. Okay. Well, Ryan just told me he would do the Batman voice, and we might make him do the Batman voice.
Oh, nice.
So I'll intro everybody, just so everybody knows what we're going to be doing. And then just a few base announcements. So we have SECO here. So I don't want to say Mr. David Deckers because he is active duty. But a lot of times we call him SECO, S-E-C-O, because there is an acronym for NAS Whiting Field Security Officer. Is SECO Security Officer?
Yes.
Deckers? Okay.
SECO is Security Officer.
See? Yeah. All with an acronym.
Yeah. It's pretty straightforward.
Always. It is. Yeah. Well, and it's security too. Security is black and white. This is what. That's what I kind of like about that. Honestly, like seriously, I do love, there's parts of that military mindset, but when you can have everything kind of set out, it kind of makes things simple. Like, okay, here's the rules and here's how we're following them. Anyway. So also in-house today, Mr. Ryan Abbott. So I think you asked him, Zach, his official title, but your official title is Security Deputy Director?
Good morning, Ryan Abbott, Deputy Security Director. No, I'm kidding. How's everybody doing? That's my title.
Oh, that's awesome, Ryan. That is awesome. So, yeah, we're going to have a good time, and I'm going to turn it over to Zach here in a minute. But just real quick on the base side, let everybody know that we do have a change of command coming up. So NAS Whiting Field Commanding Officer Captain Paul Flores will be moving out, and moving in will be Captain Ted Elkins. His call sign is Thumbs. You know, everybody with the call signs. So we're losing the call sign Party Boy, which Captain was not a party boy, so we laugh all the time that that's his call sign when it's not how he got the call sign at all.
I'm wondering now about Thumbs.
And I am too. Thumbs, what does...
How did that come about?
He's kind of a taller gentleman. I'm just, super curious. We can't wait to ask him those questions. You know, and you always have to ask when they have a call sign, is it in private? You ask in private because you get the full story.
Right.
You know, and then the public version of it.
Right.
Anyway, so we had a lot of rain. We had some cancellations over the weekend due to rain. And I know there was some disappointment, but we got lucky. NAS Whiting Field got lucky. We had a military appreciation picnic planned on Friday, put on by the Santa Rosa Chamber of Commerce. And we were all doing the fingers crossed. Is it going to rain? Is it not going to rain? So they ended up setting up in the last minute. We said, let's go for it. Let's do it. And the Chamber of Commerce always puts on a great military picnic every single year. So super excited that we were able to get out there and enjoy food and camaraderie. It was a really good time. So that's kind of it for base announcements. So I'm going to turn it over to Zach, and he is going to ask SECO and Ryan some questions. We're going to get to know them this morning, and we'll see how far we get down the line.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Okay, gentlemen, we'll start off with some easy softballs to kind of get you used to talking live on the radio. So everything you're saying is going out to the people that are listening in real time. So I know that doesn't bother either of you at all.
Oh, fantastic.
So, you know, we're looking forward to
waiting for this my whole life. Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right, so we'll start off easy. Where are each of you from? And we'll start with Ryan and then move over to you, sir. Is that all right?
Yeah, that works for me.
All right.
I'm from Louisiana.
Okay. Sir?
Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And here you are in Pensacola. That's got to be a little bit different.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah, just a little bit. Different. Absolutely. So can you guys give me a little bit of background on your careers and like kind of what got you here to the point you're at Whiting Field? We'll start with you, Mr. Dagger.
All right, cool. Well, I've been in the Navy for 14 years. First started out as a Master at Arms, so Naval Security Forces. Went through A school, San Antonio, Texas, obviously after boot camp. First couple years, actually doing my job was in, you know, strenuous Key West, Florida. So I was at Naval Air Station Key West, you know.
So stressful down there.
Arduous duty.
Arduous duty. Florida's been pretty much a mainstay of my career. It's kind of funny because one of the reasons I joined is to kind of get away from home. And then three out of my few duty stations have actually been in Florida. So first 2 years was in Key West. After that, I went to the USS Ronald Reagan. So I was on board an aircraft carrier for 3 years. So from there, I lived in Bremerton, Washington with the ship for a little bit, moved down to San Diego, and then home port shifted over to Japan. So I was in Japan for like the last 8 months. And then next set of orders is at it's a base called Strategic Weapons Facility Pacific. So in Bangor, Washington. So did some nuclear weapons security. Got stationed with the Marines out there. It was definitely a different experience.
Always a fun time with the Marines.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So from there, I went from that duty station to actually NAS Pensacola. So I was on board NAS Pensacola, actually made chief out of there. So I was a chief over there at NAS Pensacola as the operations chief for the security department. And then after that, commissioned from there. So I actually applied for what's called the limited duty officer program.
Yep.
So I was enlisted first for my first 11 years and commissioned through that program. So now I'm a security officer. Went from Pensacola to Bahrain. So I was out in the Middle East. Nice little 18-month vacation.
Absolutely.
Out there. And then after that, now here I am at exciting Whiting.
I like that.
Not quite so exciting now that you're here and keeping us all safe and secure.
Oh, I love Whiting Field. Whiting Field's amazing.
Absolutely. See what you did there.
Awesome base. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I try hard. And you, Ryan, how'd you get to where you are now?
I started at 18 years old when I joined the Army, became military police, and I've been doing law enforcement for 22 years now. My first duty station was Fort Stewart in the Army, located in right outside of Hinesville, Georgia. I did that when I got completed my tenure in the military. I went to the Middle East as a cop. I did urban warfare combat training, stuff like that. And then I went to my hometown of New Orleans, Louisiana. I was a cop there after Hurricane Katrina. I did that for a while. Left there, came to Whiting Field, and then kind of started working my way up from there. And I've been at Whiting since 2008.
Wow. What was it like being a cop during Hurricane Katrina?
Worse than the Middle East.
Wow.
It was a lot going on over there. It was a lot of excitement. For a young guy, I really enjoyed it. But now there's absolutely no way I would want to do that. I really enjoy Whiting Field and, you know, our three pillars of force protection there.
What are the three pillars of force protection?
You know what? I'm really glad you asked that.
Whiting Field.
So
yeah.
We have the three pillars. We call it the Triforce. We have the
fantastic.
We have law enforcement, anti-terrorism, physical security.
Okay.
Those three aspects is kind of what makes up force protection for us to make sure we conduct our law enforcement operations. We have our anti-terrorism plan that we execute, and then we have physical security to keep the installation secure.
Okay. And where's been y'all's favorite place so far in your careers that you've been? I assume it's Whiting Field, but
NAS Whiting Field. Absolutely.
I mean, Key West is probably, you know, not too terrible either, I would imagine.
I actually liked 140 degree weather in the Middle East.
Life's about challenges. I mean, when I was in Key West, I was there from 18 years old to 20 years old. So,
formative years.
Yeah, and not quite as exciting as one may think.
You know, I'm imagining between 18 and 20, you can still find some interesting things to do in Key West.
Absolutely,
possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was different. Experience.
So what made y'all want to get into security operations in the first place? I mean, why did you want to do, this line of work? And sir, you said you were an MA, and Ryan, you said you were a cop. What made y'all want to pursue that to begin with?
So one of the biggest driving factors for me wanting to really get into law enforcement. My uncle was a police officer with a Montville Police Department in New Jersey. And fortunately, he passed away. But he was always somebody that I always looked up to. And kind of looking at his career path, he spent time in the Army. He was a dog handler, so he was an MP. So he went from there to the civilian side up in New Jersey. And, you know, I always, like I said, looked up to him. He was one of my influences. So that was kind of really the driving factor of why I wanted to go into the law enforcement side of the house.
Okay.
So I wanted to be a lawyer. And I had quite a few scholarships in college, and then September 11th happened when I was in high school. So I thought I'd do my duty, join the Army, and then here I am. So
wow.
It just kind of works out like that sometimes.
All right. That's a little bit abbreviated, but, I still appreciate the answer. Okay. What now, when y'all are enforcing the Triforce of Security on NAS Whiting Field, are there any, kind of challenges that you face that you're not expecting when you walk in? I mean, I know y'all are, lean, mean security team, highly trained individuals and all, but are there still challenges y'all face, or is it all kind of just, pretty much every day, run-of-the-mill kind of stuff?
No, there's challenges every day. I mean, when you're dealing with that magnitude of, you're talking about personnel, manpower, equipment, training, everything that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. Luckily, I have a great boss over here, and we kind of work in stride. But it's difficult. There's a lot of challenges that arise, we always kind of rise above it and make sure everything works out perfect.
Yep. I mean, pretty much echoing what he said. I mean, we have a synergy between the two of us and everybody within
synergy.
The department. We have synergy. We synergize synergy. Very well. We have a great team cohesion dynamic down at Naval Air Station Whiting Field. So, I mean, all the people that we work with are fantastic. Everyone does their job. They do it well. So I appreciate everything that they do. I mean, to be honest with you, all the efforts that everybody does, all the efforts that everyone puts in within the department really makes our job that much easier, and it's fantastic.
Outstanding. Yeah, I can imagine having a good cohesive team makes y'all's job a whole lot easier, probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Have y'all had any, are there any individual experiences y'all have had in your lives that have kind of shaped the way you do your job now? And obviously we're talking about radio friendly, experiences.
Yeah.
Sir, you mentioned your uncle, having, shaped your choice in your career, but can you think of any experiences you were having early in your careers, perhaps where, something happened and the way you dealt with it, you were like, this is it. I made the right choice.
That's a loaded question.
Yeah, that's a very loaded question.
Is this AM radio or?
AM and FM on the internet. We've got an app. We're everywhere.
Yes, we'll have the podcast out later this week for y'all to share with your families.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that have happened in my career, in my life, that have shaped me into doing the person I am. I'm a little bit, but particularly I've had a lot of really difficult situations that I've dealt with, especially in my career in law enforcement, that have kind of shaped me the way that I am, that made me the way I am. And I tell you what, it builds character, and it builds you into the person you are. And it actually, if you can laugh at things and kind of look back and say, you know what, it's not that big of a deal, even though it is, that's where I'm at, is because I've had so many things happen that just kind of built me the way I am and made me who I am today.
Resilience.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, just like Ryan said, I mean, the different things you deal with on a day-to-day basis, from not only management side, kind of where we're at, but also just the law enforcement side of the house, kind of, it, I don't want to say it jades you a little bit, but you kind of just, you learn to laugh about things and kind of realize that not everything is as big of a deal as you may think it is in that current moment. I will say, as far as shaping who I am as a person, one of the biggest things that's helped me throughout my entire career, I've had nothing but fantastic mentors growing up, from being a young MA down at Key West, kind of learning the ropes from a lot of the fantastic folks down there, to the aircraft carrier, the USS Ronald Reagan. I mean, to be honest with you, I've had fantastic leadership through and through. They've always had my back. Every single set of leaders that I've had, I'd say for the most part, not everyone's perfect, but
sure,
for the most part, my leadership's always been fully supportive, and they've kind of led me and led me to where I am today. So I try to pass that on, pass that forward. Obviously, you know, I am where I am today based on all the leadership, mentorship, everyone that everything everyone's provided me. So I just try to pass that along.
Yeah, I was going to say, I imagine with if y'all get some fairly junior security officers under your command, you try to work to, you know, impart the knowledge you've gained along the way to get them kind of maybe not up to y'all's level, but, you know, certainly progress in their career and make them more capable security officers.
Absolutely, yes. Security force members, yes. That's what we try to build that team. Obviously, you know, there are times that we do get folks that have almost virtually zero law enforcement experience. Well, practical law enforcement experience, I'll say. Sure. Because I mean, even if we get, let's say, a junior, let's go on the military side, a junior sailor fresh out of boot camp, A school, a majority of those folks don't have, you know, actual real world experience with the law enforcement side. So that's really where our training department and they step in. We have a field training officer program for any of our new folks that need to come in, get qualified as a patrol officer, and that's really how they get guided throughout the entire process to getting qualified. Obviously, being a subject matter expert or as close to one as you can be in the law enforcement side, that's obviously the bread and butter. That's step one of, you know, going forward in your career and being successful is being really good at your job. Because if you're not good at your job, you can't really lead folks into, you know, being good at their job, if that makes sense.
Sure. No, absolutely. When you get, I would assume Whiting makes a relatively good first spot for someone in that kind of situation where they're junior coming in because they are still facing some kind of security challenges, but it's not like, you know, it's not like Norfolk or something where it's just the volume of people is so much greater, the amount of people there is so much greater.
No, that's a double-edged side there because, mm-hmm. you know, like when I was 18 years old, I was put into situations that, you know, some people never experience. Being at Fort Stewart in the infantry installation, things like that, being a military policeman, you know, I think it's good to kind of be thrown into the fire, but also think it's good to where you can go into a situation where you can actually focus on training and development and those types of things. You're going to get it from one of two ways. You get it from training or you get it from practical application. So it just depends on, you know, that's how we shape and mold people. And that's one of the true joys of my career. I've always enjoyed mentoring police officers, mentoring master at arms, security guards, things like that, and bringing them up, you know, lifelong learner, teaching them the trade and bringing them up slowly. So I think there's, you know, there's benefits to both, but we definitely have a really good training pipeline where we bring folks up, and a lot of people, when they leave here, they're much more capable to deal with any type of threats or law enforcement related situations if they went to another installation. We have a very good training pipeline.
And I know we have both Navy and civilian security officers on post. What's the split? I mean, do we have more civilians working or is there more Navy?
So we have more civilian police officers than we have master at arms. So we have, it's actually about 3-1.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of how the shape of our department is. So we're mostly civilian makeup.
Okay. Does that make things easier? Because, you know, the civilians bring the continuity to, you know, the Department of Defense. And obviously, Ryan, you're going to be here long after Mr. Deckers has put on his star as an admiral and is, you know, has forgotten all of us here.
Never going
to
happen.
Once he puts on stars, he's going to take me with him wherever he's at.
That's right, yeah. Please just,
so,
yeah.
So for the record, that can't happen. There's no Admiral LDOs in the Navy.
Oh, well, you know, I have to go back and check that to make sure. But, you know, I think you might not be right about that. But we'll see. I'm sure someone will write in and let me know that I'm a fool. That's fine.
Nice.
Okay.
Let me go ahead and do a break real quick. News Radio, Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. I've got Jamie Coffey and Zach Harris from NAS Whiting Field in the studio. If you have any questions or comments, let us know, 437-1620. Introduce your guests again, Zach, real quick. Let them know
Again, this morning we have our security officer from NAS Whiting Field. We have Mr. David Deckers, Lieutenant Junior Grade type. Soon to put on LT, sir?
At some point next November.
Some point next November? All right. We're looking forward to that promotion ceremony. Hopefully you're still around for that. And, of course, we have the Deputy Security Director or Deputy Director of Security, Mr. Ryan Abbott. Is one more correct than the other? Did I mislabel you in my Facebook post earlier?
Deputy Security Director is the official title.
Deputy Security Director. Okay, I definitely flubbed that, and we'll go back and edit after this broadcast concludes. Thank God. You know, we've only got a few minutes left, so why don't we step away from career stuff and talk personal things? Just Yeah, sir, I noticed you've got that wedding ring on your finger. How long have you been married? How many you got kids? What's going on there?
Yeah, I have three kids, an amazing wife, all younger. So got my son Wyatt. He's seven. Then I got two beautiful daughters, a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. So we weren't playing around, I guess you could say. My amazing wife Caitlin, she's really the rock for I would say the success, not only of myself career wise, but just our family as a whole. You know, I mean, she's amazing. She deals with a lot, especially, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I was gone for 18 months unaccompanied to Bahrain. She pretty much held down the fort back here, kept everything going. So she's amazing. She also inspires me just to be a better person overall. Since we've been together, I mean, simultaneously while she was pregnant with our youngest, she was going to school. She actually, during that time, went back to school, got her master's degree. So, you know, I have my associate's. So, I mean, she's leaps and bounds ahead of me educational wise. So that really inspires me. I enrolled in college again. So just started up on my first class back. I got three classes till I get my bachelor's here in the last couple of weeks.
That's great.
Very cool.
Outstanding. And Mr. Abbott, I didn't notice a wedding ring on your finger, but I know you've got some kids. Can you tell me about them?
No, I'm happily divorced. We got four kids. I have a my son's almost 20. He goes to college. He's in nursing school. Then I have a 16-year-old, 14-year-old, and then I have all boys. And then I have my 8-year-old, beautiful little daughter.
Oh, man, you've aged well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like fine wine.
You've got to be like 80 years old. That's incredible.
I feel it. I'm in dog years, man. I'm about 72.
Yeah. Okay, we've only got a couple minutes left, so I'll just end with a nice softball. What do y'all do in your spare time when you're not working to protect NAS Wedding Field?
Well, I own Whistling Pig Barbecue, so I pretty much just cook every weekend. I like playing sports with the kids, stuff like that, but I like to go for runs. I pretty much just work 7 days a week. I'm going to be honest with you. That's what I do.
Well, that doesn't sound quite so leisurely, but, you know, it's good to stay busy.
Hey.
Yes. Yeah, nice. Sir?
I like to work out.
I
mean,
I could tell.
The only way to put it. I mean, I work out. I like to do crazy things. I listen to David Goggins podcasts and motivational videos. So
sure. You know. Yeah, you know, who's going to carry the boats if not us?
And the logs.
Right. I mean, the logs, the boats.
Somebody's got to do it.
The heaviest things you can find, you know, just pick them up and walk around with them. You know, that's fun. You know, get a nice good sweat on. Yeah, and we all enjoy that.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think that's we're about to wrap up here. Jamie, you got any last-minute plugs?
I wouldn't say we have any last-minute plugs, but I do want to say thank you both for being here. And it's been a hard couple weeks in the local area, and I just appreciate you guys coming on and kind of talking security and talking law enforcement. This is really cool, Jake, to have this opportunity to kind of talk about each entity on the installation, because this team is absolutely phenomenal. So this is just one more entity on the installation and just one more portion of the team that just absolutely does a great job for us and supports us. So we really appreciate Ryan and Secco, and their comic relief is just awesome. Yeah. And trust, this is not just radio, this is just the norm professional. Yeah. But sometimes you just gotta laugh at stuff, and it's been nice to and they're great at the flex.
Yes, we're getting texts in here. Thank you all for what you do, service for our country, and keeping us safe. Jamie Coffey, Zach Harris, thank you guys so much for being here today. We'll be right back with more.
Thank you for having us.